Right.
Yeah, you can just put up the first one if you want to. if people need visuals. I kind of wish John had gone last, because I think a bunch of the things that I'm going to mention are just examples of the types of things that he brought up. Digital Humanities faculty in CDRH are hired through national searches with college-appointed search committees or are made through opportunity hires in some cases. Either Ken or I, as the co-directors, usually serve on search committees for the digital humanities faculty in the various departments in arts and sciences. This is something that I cannot do within the libraries. I cannot serve on a search committee for faculty we're trying to hire into CDRH because I will be actually supervising them. And typically we have a search committee that makes recommendations to whoever will be the immediate supervisor. So this is just following standard procedure within the university. most of the library faculty may have an MLS, but they don't have to. I think David was mentioning that there may be these people who are kind of outside that model who may have a PhD in a subject area. And we have two people like that. As a matter of their initial contract with UNL, tenure-track faculty are expected to meet tenure and promotion requirements in their home departments or colleges. Until tenured, faculty go through basically five roughly annual reappointments. And the biggest one is at year three, which I think is something that John mentioned as well. People can stop the clock for a variety of reasons. That may run for health reasons, and it could be for themselves, their spouses, their family members. Relating to the whole issue of promotion and tenure for people involved in digital humanities, CDRH developed a document to give guidance to P&T committees on evaluating digital scholarship, and it was approved by a vote of the faculty in the libraries and by the Arts and Sciences Executive Committee. It's on our website, and it includes, among other things, it includes links to professional association reports and guidelines, including the MLA guidelines. So far, we've been successful in tenuring three digital humanities faculty in the last couple of years, probably 3 years. And we have two assistant professors to go, one in English and one in history. To speak a little bit about research faculty, they too are typically hired either through searches or were initially hired on some project doing some work and gradually have been promoted on the basis of that. Though they are not tenure track, there are guidelines for how they can nominate themselves for promotion. And so we have one research faculty position within the center. It was a research assistant professor. That individual has now gone through promotion and is a research associate professor. The library's Committee on Academic Rank and Tenure developed guidelines for promotion of research faculty, and these have now been used successfully. The research apportionment for our sole research associate professor is 90% research. And though he will not vote on tenure track faculty cases, he can vote on non-tenure track promotions, which includes promotions for professors of practice. Now, to go back to the issue of apportionment, there are documents on apportionment for each faculty member, and those can be renegotiated throughout their career. The apportionment determines how great a role research, teaching, and service will play in that appointment. In the UNL libraries, librarians are hired as faculty and are required to meet criteria in the areas of job performance, scholarly and creative activity, and service and research. The libraries are actually headed by a dean who reports directly to the Senior Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs. Therefore, faculty within CDRH who have tenure homes in the libraries are expected to do research. The same is true for CDRH faculty in arts and sciences. So the research apportionments can vary from, say, 20% for some of the people within the libraries, up to 50% for some of the people within academic teaching departments. GRAs may serve, and I'll switch gears again and talk a little bit about graduate research assistants or graduate students generally. They may serve as project managers for research projects, or they may specialize in some other role based on their skills, which have been acquired through coursework, previous experience in some other field, or employment in the center. They typically use their skills as a springboard to other positions following graduation. And that can range from tenure track positions to other types of alternative options. We typically have 5 to 6 GRAs in the center at any time. We believe we have a responsibility for mentoring them, and we also, to that end, also host other opportunities for mentoring, such as clear postdoctoral fellows, interns that come from other universities or from UNL. We recognize some very fine work of graduate students and pre-tenure faculty through the Nebraska Digital Workshop, which is a competitive workshop that draws applications internationally. Now we find that the certificate program and our graduate students may look for these alternative careers that I mentioned. It may be something in publishing. It may be something within libraries. It could be within public humanities and perhaps in museums. Now, I can't remember if I mentioned this at any previous point, but UNL also has an association for postdocs, and there are associations for graduate students that cross colleges. So it's very interesting to see people becoming involved in a professional association without having to leave campus, in a sense. Regarding other staff positions within the CDRH, we have a digital resources designer who does design, but they also do, to a certain extent, some information architecture. Most information architecture functions within the center are performed at the faculty level. We have 1.5 FTE programmer analyst positions. One of them does programming, but also some sysadmin. And most of our sysadmin is actually done within the libraries. We have about 6 servers in the libraries that are managed by our computing operations and research services division. But we have 2 sandboxes, and our programmer analyst does the administration for those along with one of the professors. And there's a metadata encoding specialist who does encoding but also supervises students. And in addition to that, we have about 4 faculty who are very involved in metadata encoding. The staff positions I mentioned do not have formal academic humanities backgrounds, none of them. Yet they're very interested in the humanities. All of them serve on research teams, all want professional development opportunities, and we provide administrative release for their continuing education. One of them went through a library science program after she started with us. We provide tuition remission at UNL for any full-time staff. There's funding for attendance at conferences. We bring in webinars, and we often include staff in publications that are written. The Dean of Libraries Office serves as the center's business center, and we do have an administrative assistant. So, as mentioned earlier, any changes in job title for faculty need to be approved either through the Dean's and the Senior Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs Office, or through Human Resources for the managerial professionals and office service personnel. Once again, that's because of the monetary implications that are associated with that. So, I think that's all I have to say.